Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey, I am so excited to be able to bring you this message as we continue to talk about remarkable. Now, let me just define this for you. Remarkable, the word means worthy of notice or attention. It means extraordinary or striking. And when I think of the life of Jesus, when I think of His message that was worthy of notice or attention, when I think about His miracles that were extraordinary and striking, I say Jesus was truly remarkable. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the man, we're talking about the message, and we are talking about the miracles. Now, last week on Easter Sunday, we kicked off this series, and we really fast-forwarded all the way to the end. Now, I actually had some people say, does Destiny really do that? Does she really fast-forward the movies? And I promise, yes, she does. Not only does she watch movies like that, that's how she reads books. She'll flip, skip 10 pages, and keep on going because she just wants to get to the end. And that's where we went last week. We went all the way to the end of the story where Jesus Christ defeated death, hell, and the grave, and we celebrated His resurrection. And that was really one of the three major messages from Mark's gospel that we started with last week. Jesus is alive. That was the first message that we took away from Mark's gospel. Jesus is alive. But not only that, the kingdom is near. The kingdom is near. And then the third message that we looked at was repent and believe. Change your mind. Change your thinking. Change your opinion and believe, Jesus said, of what He was saying. But you know, these aren't only the messages of Mark's gospel. No, these are also the main messages of North Point Community Church, because we believe that Jesus is alive. We believe that Jesus came near to you for you. And we believe that the way you connect with God is to repent, is to change your mind, is to change the way that you think. And as you change the way that you think, it will begin to change your life. Let's go today into Mark chapter 2. We're going to dive into this scripture today. And the scripture says that as Jesus walked along, He saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. Now, let's just pause for a moment right here. And let me remind you, the Jewish people were not fond of tax collectors. No, as a matter of fact, they saw them as traitors. Because you see, these were Jewish people who had started working for the Roman government, who was oppressing the Jewish people at this time. So man, they were seen as betrayers and traitors. I mean, the Jewish people did not like these tax collectors at all. They were despised. And here Jesus is walking and He sees this man named Levi who is sitting at his tax collector's booth. And this is what Jesus says, "Follow me and be my disciple." So Levi got up and followed Him. Later, Levi invited Jesus and His disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many other tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. But when the teachers of the religious law, who were Pharisees, saw Him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked His disciples, "Why does He eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, He told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners." Today, I want to talk to you about four things that Jesus does. Here's the first thing that Jesus does. Jesus sees. Jesus sees people where they are, while at the same time seeing who they can be. You see, we cannot hide from God. We can't hide behind our pride and our ego. We can't hide behind our insufficiencies and our insecurities. We can't hide behind our lies, our fears, and our sin. And in this story, Levi could not hide behind his tax collector's booth. So the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15 that the Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. What does that mean? That means that the Lord sees everyone. The Lord sees people who are doing life their own way, and the Lord sees people who are doing life his way. The Lord is watching everyone. You see, the Lord sees us. The Lord sees us right where we are today. We cannot hide behind our tax collector booth of excuses. We can't hide behind our tax collector booth of failures, selfishness, or shame. But you see, he doesn't just see us. No, instead, Jesus sees right through us. He sees through your present and into your future. He sees through your current problems and into your future potential. You see, whenever Jesus walked up on Matthew, he didn't just see a man sitting in a booth. He actually saw a man writing his book. Now, you may be thinking, but why did you just call him Matthew? The scripture said it was Levi. You see, because his name was changed after conversion. And when Jesus walked up, he didn't just see Levi, he saw Matthew. And maybe you're thinking right now, Matthew, that name sounds familiar. Yes, because Matthew is the one who wrote the first gospel of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So when Jesus saw Levi, he didn't just see a tax collector sitting in his booth. No, he saw Matthew, the man who was going to write a book for his book. You see, what does that tell us? That tells us that God sees us where we are, but God also sees who we can be. But not only does Jesus see, Jesus speaks. Jesus speaks to people where they are, while at the same time speaking to who they can be. Jesus did not just have a vision for Levi's life. No, Jesus gave voice to Levi's life. He gave voice to who Levi could be. This is what Jesus said, "Follow me and be my disciple." I mean, can you imagine what the disciples must have been thinking? I mean, when Jesus paused and he made eye contact with this despised tax collector, and surely the disciples were thinking, "Who Jesus is about to tell this guy off. Jesus is about to jump down this guy's throat. Who, I can't wait for this." And Jesus says, "Come and be my disciple." Can you imagine what James and John and Peter and Andrew were thinking in this moment? Who, this guy? This guy who's been stealing from our people, this guy who has betrayed our nation, you want this guy to come and follow me? And that's exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Come and be my disciple." You see, throughout the life of Jesus, this is what we see. We see Jesus meeting people in their brokenness and speaking about their wholeness. We see Jesus meeting people in their prison and telling them about their freedom. We see Jesus meeting people in their pain and telling them about what is possible. See, Jesus never allowed what it looked like in the moment to keep him from speaking about what it could be moments later. So the scripture says in verse 14, "So Levi got up and followed him." Jesus verbalized what was possible, and Levi accepted it. Jesus didn't just see Levi, Jesus spoke to Levi. He didn't just have a vision for who Levi could be, he gave voice to who Levi could be, and Levi responded. Levi accepted it, and he got up and he began to follow Jesus. Listen, Levi wasn't feeling like a disciple in that moment, but he was able to respond to what Jesus said. Jesus said, "All you have to do right now is get up and begin to move towards me." Come on, that is great news for us today. You might not feel like a disciple. You might not feel like your life is where you want it to be right now. But guess what? The same way that Levi got up and followed Jesus, today we can all get up and begin to follow him in a brand new direction. Now, Peter knew this all too well. And don't forget, now you say, well, where's Peter coming in the story? Because we're reading Mark's gospel, but Mark's gospel was written through the life, stories, and experiences of Simon Peter. And Peter knew all too well about this very thing. It was Peter that had denied Jesus. It was Peter that had denied Jesus three times right before Jesus was going to be crucified. It was three times that they said, you have to be one. You have to be one of his followers. I know that I've seen you. Peter said, no, not me. They said, no, you have to be from Galilee. You speak with a different accent. You're not from Jerusalem. Peter said, no, not me. And finally, it got to the end, and Peter got so fed up with it. It says that Peter began to curse God and say, no, I am not with his tribe. And after Jesus has been resurrected and has appeared back to his disciples, and he begins to have a conversation with Peter. And Jesus asks Peter, he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus asks him again, Peter, do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know I love you. Finally, Jesus asks for the third time. He says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know all things. You know how I feel about you. You know that I love you. And every time Jesus gave Peter the same command, he said, then feed my sheep. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, Peter, it's not over for you. It is only just beginning. You see, Jesus was not ignoring the pain of Peter's denial. Jesus was meeting Peter exactly where he was. He was speaking to where Peter was, but he was also speaking to who Peter could be. I know where you are right now, but you don't have to stay there. You can get up again and begin to feed my sheep. You can get up again and live with purpose. You can get up again and fulfill the reason that you are on this earth. You see, Jesus speaks to where we are, but Jesus speaks also to who we can be. Here's the third thing that Jesus does. Jesus sits. Jesus sits. Jesus sees, Jesus speaks, and Jesus sits. See, Jesus sits with people at their table while at the same time offering them a seat at his table. In verse 15 of our scripture, it says, later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus's followers. See, I can just see Simon Peter as he is telling John Mark about this, as he's remembering this party, as he's remembering what God did in the life of his friend Levi. And I can remember it as Simon Peter is reliving this whole night, and he's thinking about all the people that were there at this party. And he's telling John Mark, he's saying, John Mark, now listen, you've got to write this in. You've got to add this in. Let people know that this wasn't the only party that Jesus showed up to. Let people know that there were always people like this that showed up to hang out with Jesus. He was always spending time with the tax collectors and the other disreputable sinners. He was always spending time with people that other people did not want to spend time with. Let people know. Make sure you write that into the book, that that's who Jesus was hanging out with. You see, this is what the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they really had a problem with this one. Because no self-respecting rabbi, no teacher of the law would eat with known sinners. How could Jesus be saying that he was doing God's work while he was hanging out with people like that? And when the Pharisees showed up at the party, now they were keeping their distance. Now the Pharisees, they were excellent at social distancing. And I know that's what we're all getting a taste of, but they always wanted to keep their distance from the sinners. And so they were there, and they were asking the disciples. They probably called one of them outside of the party, and they came out, and the conversation continued. They say, what? Can we just ask you guys something? Why is your rabbi, why is your teacher, why is Jesus sitting in that house eating with that type of scum? Now, this is what I love about Jesus. Jesus didn't even let his disciples answer this question because Jesus was so passionate about this topic. And Jesus calls out and he says this, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous. Instead, I have come to call those who know that they are sinners. You see, Jesus sits with the sick so that the sinner can sit with their Savior. He sits at their table so that they can have a seat at his table. And this is why the religious leaders hated Jesus. And not only hated Jesus, it's why they wanted to kill Jesus. Because Jesus saw, Jesus spoke to, and Jesus sat with the wrong people. But the Pharisees, they had diagnosed Jesus' problem. They knew what the problem was. And so the Pharisees, they send some of the big wigs from Jerusalem to come and address this issue. And in Mark chapter 3, we read that teachers of the religious law who had arrived from Jerusalem said, he's possessed by Satan, the prince of demons. That's where he gets his power to cast out demons. You know, people start talking crazy when they get desperate. I mean, can you just think about that for a moment? He's possessed by Satan. That's why he has power to cast out demons. Where is this logic going to end? What are they going to say? And that's why he's healing all of the sick. And that's why he's talking about the love and the grace of God. And that's why he's talking about love your neighbor as you love yourself. Where does this logic end? This logic doesn't add up. But that's what happens when people get desperate. They start talking crazy. And so the scripture says that Jesus called them over and he responded with an illustration. Now, wait a minute. Jesus calls them over. Now, what were they doing? If they really believed that Jesus was full of Satan, what were they doing hanging out with Jesus? And second of all, why were they coming closer? Must be because they really did not believe that. Jesus continues on. He says, how can Satan cast out Satan? He asked. Chirp, 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 chirp. Only the crickets in the back could be heard. They had no answer for that. So Jesus answers his own question. And he says, a kingdom divided by civil war will collapse. Similarly, a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is divided and fights against himself, how can he stand? He would never survive. And don't you know that the Pharisees were like nodding their head like, yeah. Yeah, that's true. A family divided can't stand. Yeah, a nation divided can't stand. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, Jesus has got them in agreement with what he's saying. And then he says, hey, let me illustrate this further. Jesus saying, hey, if you have not been paying attention and you have missed the whole point of this talk so far, I'm going to clarify it for you right now. Who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Bueller? Okay, since nobody is answering, I will answer my own question. Only someone who is even stronger, someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. You see, Jesus was letting these Pharisees know that he wasn't interested in sitting in expensive robes, drinking good tea, while having philosophical and spiritual debates about the law, sitting in the synagogue. No, instead, Jesus came to plunder hell and populate heaven. The Pharisees were concerned about the impact that sinful people could have on their reputation, but Jesus was concerned about the impact he could have on sinful people's eternal destination. You see, I want you to see that what the religious leaders were concerned about is what the sinful people would do to them, but Jesus was only concerned about what he could do for sinful people. When Jesus came to earth, he came to walk into the strong man's domain and dominate him so that the lost could be found, so that the sick could be healed, and so that the weak could be made strong. And this, my friends, is truly remarkable. Jesus was letting everyone know, I don't have power because I'm full of Satan. I have power because I am God. The stronger man tied up the strong man and plundered his house. And Jesus has been plundering the enemy's house for centuries and for generations, on every continent, through times of peace and through times of war, in large church auditoriums and in small living rooms. Jesus has been plundering hell and populating heaven. Jesus has been binding up the strong man and saying, there is a stronger man, and his name is Jesus. You see, what does Jesus do? This is the fourth thing that Jesus does. Jesus saves. That's what Jesus does. Jesus saves. Jesus saves us for eternity, but he doesn't just save us for eternity. Jesus saves us from ourselves. He saves us from the pitfalls of life. He saves us and he sets us free. It's what Jesus does. Jesus sees, Jesus speaks, Jesus sits, and Jesus saves. And you see, that is the message of the gospel. And as Simon Peter sat down with John Mark, he said, you've got to let people know about who this Jesus really is. This Jesus sees them. He sees them right where they are. He sees them in their pain. He sees them in their shame. He sees them in their frustration and in their confusion. Let them know that they cannot hide. He sees them exactly where they are. But when he sees them, he doesn't just see who they are today. He sees who they can be in the future. John Mark let people know that Jesus doesn't just see them, but Jesus speaks to them. Jesus wants to give voice, and Jesus wants to extend a vocal invitation that says, come, follow me and be my disciple. Even though you don't feel like you qualify for that, Jesus says, no, just come out from behind the lies. Come out from behind those insecurities. Come out from behind those mistakes and those failures. Just come out from behind your tax collector's booth and choose to follow me. Jesus is speaking today. But not only does Jesus speak, you need to know that Jesus sits. Jesus sits exactly where you are. He comes and sits at your table. He's not ashamed to sit at your table. He's not embarrassed to sit at your table. He doesn't shy away from your house. No, Jesus sits with you. Why does Jesus sit with you? Because he wants you to know that you have a seat at his table. And Jesus sits with you so that you can know he didn't just come to sit with you. He came to save you. He came to be your hope. He came to be your salvation. He came to be your peace. He came to save you from yourself so that you could become who he created you to be. Can we pray today? Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for your grace. God, we thank you. We thank you for this story of Levi, this man that was transformed into Matthew, this man who was sitting behind a tax collector booth one day and just years later was writing the first book of the New Testament. And Father, today we all know what it is to be hiding behind our sin and behind our shame. We know what it is to be hiding behind our pride and our ego. We know what it is, but today we are reminded of the good news that Jesus sees us. And not only does he see us, but he sees right through us. Today we are reminded from the story that Jesus speaks to us, that he speaks to us, and he gives us all an invitation to come and be his disciple. And that Jesus sits with us. That Jesus sits with us in our pain and our frustration, that he comes and sits at our table. He is not ashamed of us, that he sits at our table so we could know that we have a seat at his table. And Jesus saves us. Jesus saves us from our sin, and ultimately Jesus saves us from eternal separation from the Father. God, we thank you today for the truth, the powerful truth of this gospel message found in the book of Mark. And right now, you may be sitting on your couch, you may be sitting around your breakfast table, you might still be laying in bed, but as you close your eyes just for a moment, as you just take a moment to pause and to realize that Jesus sees you right where you are. Jesus doesn't just see you. Jesus wants to speak to you. Jesus wants to know that he's sitting right there with you right now. You are not alone. He is with you. But he is with you because he came to save you. And if right now in this moment you say, Philip, that's what I need in my life. Philip, I need the hope. I need the joy. I need the peace. I need the purpose that can only come from God. I need Jesus in my life. All you have to do right now is say, that's me. That's me. You can whisper it under your breath and just say, that's me. That's me. I need Jesus in my life today. I believe that he sees me. I believe that he's speaking to me. I believe that he's even sitting with me right now. And I believe that he can save me from whatever I'm facing and going through right now. And ultimately, he can save me from eternal separation. And he can bring me into eternal life with Almighty God. That's all you have to say. That's me, God. I believe that. Father, I'm praying right now for every single person that said, that's me. That's me. I know I need a Savior. Father, I thank you today that you're changing hearts and you're transforming lives from the simple truth of your gospel. You see us, you speak to us, you sit with us, and you save us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Come on, somebody needs to say amen today.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. If so, hit the subscribe button so you can hear more. For more information on how to connect with NCC, visit ncc.team.